Praise God. We're turned to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18 this morning. We're on our Sunday mornings on a series of prayer, and I want to continue with that here this morning. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. And my message is prayer in the Spirit. Prayer in the Spirit. Please don't shut down and think you understand or know what I'm about to say. We want to go to the Word of God and the Scripture to understand what is prayer in the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, 18. Only going to read one simple verse here that we've dealt with previously in this series. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's pray together. Father, I do praise you and thank you for your grace and your mercy. Even this morning, we're so aware of what you've done in our lives, and the Holy Spirit dealing with our very hearts, convicting us of our sins, revealing our need of a Savior. My God, I thank you for that work of the Holy Spirit that drew us to Christ, that brought us that way, nor God, a blood sprinkling that cleansed us, that washed us, nor God, that saved us, that changed us by the power of Jesus Christ. Father, we do believe in the power of this Holy Spirit to reach and to change the life. And oh God, I pray that you would open our eyes, oh God, to this realm of prayer in the Spirit. Father, I pray, let faith arise this morning. My God, we need an outpouring of your Holy Spirit in this church. We need a visitation of the Holy Ghost. We need God to come down in a mighty way. My God, we need personal fillings of your Holy Spirit. My God, will you come and pour out your Spirit? Nor God, will you pour out a spirit of prayer and supplication? My God, we need a revival in this city. Nor God, where we'll see hundreds and thousands born again by the power of your Holy Spirit. My God, will you come as a wind even upon us this morning? Let faith be inspired and stirred within our hearts. You said that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Father, mark our lives here this morning. Lord God, your Holy Spirit, let him bear witness to the Word of God mightily. No God, in changing us and opening our hearts and lives, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory and honor and praise. And we do pray in the name of Jesus, through Jesus Christ, our great high priest. And I thank you that even right now, my prayer, O God, is mixed with the very fragrance and incense of my great high priest being offered at the throne of God. It's a reality. And we give you thanks for this thing called prayer, where we can open our heart, nor God, pour out our innermost being before you. We do love you this morning in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Let me just read that again very simply. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And that's my message here this morning. Prayer in the Spirit. In this series before, we dealt with the throne of grace. We preached three messages from this verse. First of all, praying always, that a man ought always to pray at all times, in every situation, and every possibility, we are to pray. That's what's contained in this verse. Then we preached the second message on praying for others. Remember all those saints I said, those old ladies praying, who I said from America all the way through to Sweden, those saints of God who said, I'm praying for you, I'm praying daily for you. Just last night, Candace got an email from someone who none of yous know in this room, and she only met this lady this week, and she messaged saying, last night we gathered and we are praying for you, and we're praying for that church, and we're praying for the ladies in that church, and for the raising up of those kids in that church. Someone who doesn't even know you, a group of believers, were praying for you last night. Pray for one another. Aren't you glad for those who pray for other believers, saints? That is all in this verse. Praying always, praying for others. Then thirdly, all prayer, or all kinds of prayer. It's all here in this one simple verse. But here this morning, fourthly, I want to bring you to this issue of prayer in the Spirit. Saints, a verse is absolutely overflowing with the theology and the doctrine and the life and the practice of prayer. Why do we preach in prayer? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You'll never be a praying man or woman unless it's preached to you, unless it's taught to you, unless the Spirit of God makes it a reality within your life. Always praying. Prayer in the Spirit. This term here, where it says always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That little word always. Don't lose any word in this verse. I tell you, we're ringing out from this one scripture the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Who gave us the Word of God? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Some people today think more of dreams than the Word of God. I tell you, they've made a terrible mistake. The Holy Spirit gave us this word. If you don't honor this word, he'll never speak to you outside it. You'll get deceived. You'll get misled. You'll get confused. The Holy Spirit gave us every word, every syllable, every full stop. How do I know? Because the Lord Jesus said that every jot and tittle, none of it is going to be lost. Every comma, every full stop is vital to God, and it's been inspired by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given us this book. He gave us this verse that we have just read, and he wants to inspire prayer within us. That's why we don't throw away any words. We're not going to throw away the word always. It's very important. We preached an entire message on that one word, always. I'm going to emphasize here the word in. Don't throw away in. Don't treat it as of no consequence. It is very important. But let me just remind you here that the word always is a very complex word made up of three different Greek terms. And when you put it together, you have praying always. But one of those Greek terms in this English word of ours, always, remember what it means. It means through you, or for you to become a vessel, or you become a channel. So when it says always praying, it means your life literally becomes a channel or a vessel of prayer. In other words, prayer is moving through you. All you are is a vessel. God prepares a vessel. Prayers are not going to get prayed unless God has a vessel. Unless you prepare yourself and present yourself, some prayers are not going to be prayed, and God will not answer some prayers because there's no vessel. That's why we're saying here, always praying in the Spirit. God needs a vessel. Do you know who needs a vessel? The Holy Spirit needs a vessel. He wants to pray through you. He wants to pray in you. And you know what? This morning in this room, the Holy Spirit is literally looking for a channel. He's looking for a person in your family. Maybe you're the only one saved in your family. Then you are God's channel of prayer. If you don't pray, how are they going to hear the gospel? How is the blessing of God going to come into that family? You have been put there as a channel and a vessel of prayer. Saints, let me exhort you. Pray for your family. Pray for those in your workplace. Pray for those who live next door to you. How else is God going to intervene in their lives? Saints, you are to be a vessel of prayer. But notice with me in this important statement and this. In the Spirit. That's our message. Pray in the Spirit. Don't lose that little word in. Maybe you've never underlined the word in your Bible before. Maybe you don't think it's important enough. I'm going to change that this morning. Underline the word in the Spirit. In the Spirit. What a powerful statement here that we are to pray in the Spirit. Do you understand what it means? Do you actually experience it? Do you enjoy the blessing of prayer in the Spirit? Or have you separated prayer from the Holy Spirit? Have you actually separated them and seen them as two different things? Prayer ought always to be in the Spirit. What does this little word in mean? It actually means in the realm of the Spirit. Our prayer is to be in the atmosphere of the Spirit. If you take prayer out of the atmosphere of the Spirit, out of the realm of the Spirit, or if you lose this little word in, your prayer is going to be very different than prayer in the Spirit. What do I mean? The atmosphere of prayer or the realm of prayer. Let me be complicated for about 10 seconds here. And don't shut your ears to it. I'll explain what I mean. This little word in is actually in the Greek language a locative sphere. Let me say it again. It's a locative of sphere. In other words, it's locative. Or it gives a location or a locality of something. It tells you where something is to be. It reveals to you the sphere or the realm or the area or the place where a thing is to actually be. God in this verse is saying prayer is to be in the locality of the Holy Spirit. Never take prayer away from a living person, an acting person, someone who is there to pray through you. Never separate the saints. Prayer is to be in the Spirit, in the local church. When we gather as a church, I don't want to hear just prayers. I don't want to hear just people filling the gaps. I don't want to hear people praying out of ritual or obligation. When we come together as a church, prayer is to be in the Spirit. You know what? When you hit those stairs and you're coming to a prayer meeting, you ought to go, oh God, I want to pray in the Spirit. I don't want to be praying apart from Him or outside of Him. I don't want to be praying in a different locality. I don't want to be the prayers that are just in me or just in my mind. Saints, I want to experience prayer in the Spirit. Prayer is to have an address. Do you hear me this morning? Prayer is to have a locality. Prayer is to be based somewhere. And you ought never to pray without an awareness of prayer in the Spirit. Never allow prayer to be anything else than in the Spirit. So when the Bible says, as an example, when the Bible says that we are in Christ, what does it mean? It means that the sphere of our entire life, of our Christian experience, is to be in Christ. You don't live your Christian life outside of Christ. I am righteous in Him. I am accepted in Him. I am forgiven in Him. All of those things that are in Christ. Do you know what it means? Our Christian life is to be lived in Christ. You can't live the Christian life. It's impossible to be a Christian. As Brother Clendenin often said, he said, it's not hard to be a Christian. It's not hard to be a Christian. It's impossible. You see, you cannot live the Christian life. It's a supernatural work. I feel very sorry for those who've merely lifted a hand or said a little prayer and they call themselves a Christian and they wonder why they can't live this life. You know why? You need a personal experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to meet with Him. You need a cleansing in the blood. You need to have Him dwelling in your heart by faith. That is real. Real conversion. You can't live the Christian life outside of Christ. You better make sure you're in Christ and then you live the Christian life. Too many try to live the Christian life by their own strength, by their power, by their morality, by their good works, by going to church, but yet they're not in Christ. Saints, prayer is the same. That's why so many have failed at prayer. They don't have power in prayer. They don't experience joy in prayer. They don't know what it is to wrestle with God in prayer. Do you know why? It's not in the Spirit. That's why they say, I'm not called to pray. I cannot pray. I don't know how to pray. Do you know why you say that? You have taken prayer out of the realm of the Spirit. Now you say prayer depends on you. It depends on your power, your strength, your faith, your ability. You are looking to yourself and I say, I can't do it. No wonder you say that. You know why? Because you have removed prayer from the realm of the Spirit. And now you're frustrated. Now you fail. Now you're struggling in the flesh. Now you look at yourself and you say, I cannot do this. When we say we're in Christ, What we're saying is Christ surrounds us, not just in a circle, in a sphere, in an entire globe. That means when you're in Christ, He utterly surrounds you. No matter where you go, you are in Christ. No matter what your circumstance, or your emotional feelings, or how much money you have in the bank, or whether you're discouraged, or whether you're floating on the clouds, if you're in Christ, you're in Christ. All of those other things may change. Saints, it's the same with prayer. Prayer is to be in the Spirit. I come to prayer, I'm discouraged. Pray in the Spirit. It's not out of your own self. You don't draw on your own self. You come saying, I'm relying on the Holy Spirit. When you pray in the name of Jesus, it doesn't mean saying in Jesus' name. It means I come through Him by His blood. He is my great high priest. I'm actually praying in His name, in His authority, in His power. When I come to the Father, I come in the name of Jesus. That's what prayer in the name of Jesus means. I'm not coming here myself. I'm accepted in Christ. I have access through Jesus Christ. Saints, it's the very same thing when we talk about prayer in the Spirit. What do we mean? That we latch on Spirit at the beginning or end of a prayer? Oh, I'm gonna pray in the Spirit. What does that mean? Do you know what it means? You are going to pray in His power, with His ability, with His influence. You're going to have faith that He brings you into the very presence of God. True prayer is exercised in the sphere or realm of the Holy Spirit. He motivates it. He empowers it. It is Spirit-led. And saints, what you do is submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the words, let Him fill you with the words. If you can't see the throne of grace, let Him open your eyes. If you feel very weak, let His power come upon you. If you feel you can't reach the throne of grace, let Him literally lead you into the presence of God. Prayer in the Spirit is to be controlled by Him, led by Him, dependent by Him, by His workings. All of this is prayer in the Spirit. I actually say, He is my assistant. I can draw on all His resources. Who is the Holy Spirit? He is God. He is God, the third person of the Trinity. Though I don't like calling anyone first, second, and third. He is the one sent by God the Father into the earth. Saints, all the resources of God are in Him. And if you pray and the Holy Spirit's over here and you say, well, I hope He helps me. Well, maybe I feel a little touch. No, 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 no. Soak your prayer. Put your prayer life in the Holy Ghost. Go and say, He's got all the resources. Do you know what? He knows the mind of God. He knows every person who needs prayer. He knows me. He knows my weaknesses. He knows everything. And you know what? I want prayer to be in Him. I want to draw on all His resources. Oh, I feel so weak. But I'll draw on His resources. Oh, I don't have the power of God upon me, but I can draw on all of His resources. Saints, in Ephesians 2 and verse 18, it says, for through Christ we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Listen again. Access by one Spirit to the Father. It's through Christ you're coming to the Father. It's through Christ that you approach. You're coming to the Father to pray. Who do you pray to? Not the Son. Not the Holy Spirit. You pray to the Father. In whose name do you pray? In the name of the Son. What did you say? Don't ask anything of me on that day. Do you know it's become popular in the church today to pray to the Spirit? And there's no sin in that. And I don't believe it'll quench Him or grieve Him. I understand that. But not once in the New Testament do you have a prayer to the Holy Spirit. Not one single time. No apostle, no preacher, no writer. There's no command. We're always told, pray to the Father in the name of the Son. But listen to me. Make sure it's in the Holy Spirit. In His power. In His provision. In His influence. Saints, don't pray. Don't think the burden's on you. It's not. Yeah. If you pray outside the Spirit, then get on with it. You'll be a worn out toad. You'll be frustrated. You'll be grumpy. I tell you, you'll say, well, why is Malcolmson enjoying the prayer meeting? I grump around here. No wonder. Prayer is in the Spirit. Malcolmson's the weakest man you'll ever meet. I'm the most unable, the most awkward of persons. But let me get into that realm of the Holy Spirit. I'll pray in the Holy Spirit. It says that we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. The word access means admission, entrance, to be led towards, or to be given entrance. Who is it that gives you entrance to the Father? Who is it who draws you to that place of prayer? It is the Holy Spirit. John in the book of Revelation, he said he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He saw things he could never otherwise have seen. He heard things he could not otherwise have heard. He spoke things he could never have spoken. How could he do that? He was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and we have the book of Revelation. Saints, it's so real, this prayer in the Spirit. So only a couple of years ago, when I was 21 years old, or going 22, I was living in Scotland, and on a Saturday night I was babysitting for this family. They were out for the night, and I was left babysitting their two children. One of them was a wee boy, and his sister was a little bit older. And as I'm there, they're up in bed. They went to bed on time, maybe 5 minutes past the time. I give them 5 minutes grace. And I'm in the living room, walking up and down praying. Since I was praying in the Spirit, I want to assure you, there's something about praying in the Spirit when you're not just trying to get through to God. You are in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God lifts you up. And as I'm walking and praying and reading the Word of God and just communing with Him, and the two kids are upstairs, God speaks to me and says, I want you to read this chapter. And he said, in so many weeks, your pastor is going to preach on this text, on this exact text, and this is what I'm going to do. And it's going to be confirmation that you're called to this church, to this ministry, and to stand by his side, and to preach the word in this place. And I'm going to show you. Since several weeks later, we were in another place, in another area. And that morning as I woke up, the Lord said, it's this morning. I went to that chapter in the Old Testament. I read it all, and I'm reading. I know he's going to preach on this chapter. I know there's no way I could have known. How did I know? I was praying in the Spirit. You see, I was in that realm, that sphere, that atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, where he can reveal his thoughts. I was praying for my future. You see, I had a 3-month ticket to go back to Switzerland where I was living. 3-month ticket, a return ticket. I never used it. I've still got a bag somewhere in Switzerland. Never went back in all of these years. But I am praying in the Spirit. And you know what I'm praying for as well? And I'm praying for Him to move in my life. And I'm praying that He'll use me. Well, He began to open it up. And all those weeks later, as I sat in that meeting, I open up the Bible. The preacher gets up to preach. I open up to the text, and I'm sitting waiting going, he's going here. He says, turn to this scripture. It was a scripture, and it was confirmation exactly of the will of God. Saints, it is real. It is real. It was some months after that I was actually sitting. The pastor said, I want to meet with you, and we need to sit down and talk. I said, sure. Do you know, I'd gone through 3 weeks of intensive prayer for a new church to be raised up in a certain town. I mean, I always prayed for sinners. All I could see, all I was aware of, were sinners on their way to hell, of lost men and women. I hardly ever prayed about the church. But all of a sudden one night, the Holy Spirit moved on me, and I began to pray. I mean, for 3 weeks solid. I could hardly sleep at night. I could hardly eat. I could hardly talk to others. For 3 weeks, I'm intensely praying in that town. God, raise up a new church. I am burdened. I am consumed. You know what? I'm praying in the Spirit. And you know what's happening? His will and His desire and His purpose is coming forth. I don't know. I'm not not telling him what to do. It's his spirit of prayer is moving and it consumes me. It was so strong that I actually thought there was something wrong with me. I went, I can't pray for sinners. I can't pray for the lost. I can't pray for evangelism. I have one prayer that I prayed for 3 weeks from the moment I opened my eyes to the last thing at night. I was consumed with this burden of prayer. Well, the pastor met with me with his wife. Always good to have a husband and wife together because of how they communicate. And as I sat there, I looked and he said, well, we just want to talk to you. And I started to talk about this for 3 weeks. And he smiled and looked at his wife. And she smiled and looked at him. And I went, that look means something, but I don't know what it means. But he knows what she means and she knows what he means. And it means something. And what I'm saying means something. And he just laughed after I finished. And he says, for 3 weeks, I've been praying for you for the anointing of God, for a new church to plant it here and for you to lead that work. Saints, that is praying in the Spirit. There is a revealing of the Word of God. Do you know, for 6 years I led that church. And on the very last Wednesday that I ever led, before I'm come into that meeting, I'm in the back barn and I'm praying. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God, I know it's not always like this, saints. I know what it is to be hard pressed in prayer or struggling or falling asleep. I know it all. I understand that. But I'm telling you what we can have and experience. 6 years I'm in that church and I'm out in the barn and waiting about an hour before the service, praying for the service. And all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes down on me. And I began to weep and I began to cry. And you know what? My heart began to yearn. Every single person in that church, the Spirit of God brought him before me and said, you didn't bring him through, I brought him through. Then brought the next person. You didn't bring them through, I brought them through. And he started to show me he was the great shepherd of the sheep. And I'd done this for them, and I'd done that for them. And I brought them through, and I kept them. All of that. I don't know what's happening. Saints, I am there to stay. I am in that church. That people were my family. I loved that church for 6 years. And don't get worried, I'm not walking out on you, okay? For 6 years. I'm there praying. And God shows me this. I'm going, that's very strange. I walked into the service and that night as I stood, I'll never forget it, never. I looked at all their faces and I began to say, I just wept. I said, you don't realize how he's kept you. You don't realize the great high priest, the shepherd of the sheepfold, he has brought you through. You don't realize what he saw. They didn't know what I was talking about. I didn't know that's my last night in that church. Looking after that sheepfold, looking after that sheep. Do you know what that is? That is prayer in the Spirit. Saints, we're going to go to 3 more messages if I'm not careful here. Let me quickly give you a few points here about prayer in the Spirit. I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And I'm going to take you to the little book of Jude very briefly here. First of all, Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. This is my first point. You say, man, you've made a lot of points. Well, this is my first point. Listen, it's the natural mark of a newborn Christian. Prayer in the Spirit is the natural first mark of a newborn Christian. Don't think it's super spiritual or a mark of maturity. Prayer in the Spirit is not for the mature. It is for the very newborn Christian. And saints, I'm not talking about something supernatural. I'm talking about you cannot pray without the help of the Spirit. But most newborn Christians, they do this and they don't realize what's happening. And when they get down the road a bit, they lose it and they don't know why they have lost it. When you get born again, this naturally operates where you're drawing on the resource of the Holy Spirit. Because you know you have to. And the first time you ever pray in a public meeting, it takes all the strength. You lay hold of God. Oh God, help me. You know what? You're drawn on the Holy Spirit to help you. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 8 and 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, is so that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Do you know what that tells me? A new born again Christian receives the Holy Spirit at the point of conversion. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't have Christ. If you don't have Christ, you don't have the Spirit. Since you don't confuse the baptism with the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Spirit with having the indwelling Holy Spirit. This verse actually says the Spirit of God dwells in you. When you first get saved, you don't know anything. You don't know how to walk with God. But the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. And you are born again. Then look at verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do I know I'm born again? One of the great marks is the Spirit of God in me bears witness with my spirit. It's not outward things that I look to. I go, the Holy Spirit is in me. Since He is a living person dwelling in you. If you're born again, the Holy Spirit is in you. And you know what He does? He witnesses. He tells you. It's the Holy Spirit's amen. You're born again. You're saved by my grace. I have saved you. I dwell within you. And it says out of that, notice the prayer that comes. The prayer of the Spirit. Abba, Father. Where do you think that originates? In the Spirit. Saints, when you get born again, you immediately say, I'm no longer in bondage. Like Brother Soph shared there about that bird going free because of the blood. I am free. I have been forgiven. I'm free of drugs. I'm free of alcohol. I'm free of sexual immorality. I'm not a rebel against God's word. I actually am free. I experience it. And the first thing you experience is, Abba, Father. Notice this, a newborn Christian immediately doesn't pray to the Son, doesn't pray to the Spirit. Who does he pray to? Abba, Father. This is the first natural speaking to God. I was born again at 4.5 years old. And during those, I couldn't read, I couldn't write, I couldn't speak to grown-ups. I was the most timid, quiet, shy kid. Not like my big brother. I can assure you, these ones can tell you. I was the quiet kid, they were the rowdy ones in the home. But you know what? The natural thing, even as a child, I was born again. And my heart, I can remember those prayers. Oh God, I want to know you. Oh God, I desire you. Oh God, I love you. My Father, I love you. Saints, that came with the Holy Spirit. Who taught me to pray? The Holy Spirit taught me to pray. You've got to pray. It's the natural breathing out. I didn't have a prayer time. I didn't have a special time or a special place. I went to bed at night as a little kid and I lie down. My mommy didn't know anything about it. I just began to communicate with the Lord. I love you, Lord. I thank you for Jesus. It was the natural breathing. Since that's the first great mark. What is prayer in the Spirit? It is the natural, it is the new birth where a new Christian just simply goes, Abba Father, there is a cry within you. I'm not in bondage anymore. I'm free. But second of all, look down to verse 26. Point two, it's the answer to your weakness, your inability and your lethargy. What is? Prayer in the Spirit is the answer to your weakness. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Look at that verse 26. Likewise the Spirit. When he says likewise, he's saying, now look what I've already taught you. You're a child of God. My Spirit's within you. You're crying out, Abba, Father. He says likewise. Now I'm going to show you the prayer life of a Christian. Likewise, the Spirit also help us our infirmities. How come you walk with God? How come you haven't backslidden? How come you haven't lost faith in the Word of God? How come when you have sinned against God and you have grieved the Holy Spirit, you've repented and you go, oh God, forgive me. Why did you do that? Do you realize that's a work of the Holy Spirit to make you repent, to make you grieve over your sin, to say, where else can I go? Who else can I go to? You shed your blood for me. You've been good to me and gracious to me. But saints, here we have likewise also the Spirit, helpeth our infirmities. He is already indwelling us, working within us. But there's more. He's here to help you in your prayer life. It says here that the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Notice it's in the plural, not the singular. He's not just saying infirmity. Since you and I have many infirmities. The word infirmities means our weaknesses. You're full of weaknesses. Oh, I can't pray, I'm full of weaknesses. No, you're qualified for prayer in the Spirit. Oh, but I'm struggling. You're qualified for prayer in the Spirit. Oh, I don't know much. You're qualified. Oh, I'm so young. You're qualified. Oh, it can't sound like them. You are qualified. Do you know why? You have infirmities. Oh, but I've sinned. That's the very time you need to pray in the Spirit. I tell you, I've sinned. I need to get back up again. I need to get back to God. Saints, that's when you really need the Lord. You see, we are filled with inability. James chapter 4 says, ye ask and you receive not. Why are you not receiving? Why is it you're not receiving? Because ye ask amiss, or you're asking wrongly, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. You're not asking according to the will of God. You're not asking with the right motive. You're not asking the right, I think God should do this for me. I think God should give me her or give me him. You're in dangerous ground, I assure you. You know, there's nothing worse than getting the person you always wanted and go, God help me. What have I gone and done? There's some prayers you do not want God to answer. You may be determined to get an answer. You may want an answer. But I assure you, there's some things, if God is gracious to you, he won't answer. God's not answering my prayer. I wonder why. Maybe he's saving you. I want to be in ministry. Maybe God doesn't want you in ministry. Or maybe God says you need to grow a little. I'm sick of these preachers all in America, all over the place. And you know what? 20 years in the ministry. Well, I've been preaching all of this stuff. Now I have a new revelation. Now we're going to go in a different direction. I wish you hadn't have started preaching when you did. You should have been locked away with God. God could have taught you. You see, Saint says that the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities. He wants to help your infirmities. He wants to help your weakness, your emotional difficulties and infirmities. Your body is an infirmity. Your circumstance are infirmity. You say, but I'm weak. I'm unable. I lack power. I have no ability. I lack desire. You say, what can God do for me? I don't have the desire to pray. Why do you think the Holy Spirit is in you? He says, I'll stir up the desire. I'll draw out your heart. Do you ever go to God and say, God, draw out my heart after you in prayer. Draw out my heart to pray. I used to pray this all the time. 20, 25 years ago, one of my main prayers, God, draw out my spirit to seek after you. Do you know what happened? He answered, my entire being would be drawn out to seek him in prayer. It's a very real thing. He helpeth. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if we had the Spirit but he didn't help? You see, it says he helpeth. He doesn't turn you away. He sustains you. He aids you. He supports you. He supplies for you. He stirs you up. He enables you. He inspires you to pray. He shows you what to pray for. He subdues your fear, strengthens your hope, draws out your hearts. He is there to help you, saints. The Holy Spirit is a help specifically in the place of prayer. Because we do not know, as we ought to, how to pray or what to pray for. You say, I don't know what to pray for. He does. You don't know how to pray. He does. You don't know when to pray. He does. Since the Holy Spirit is a real person, he is Lord of that prayer life. If you pray outside of him, What a terrible burden that you cannot pray. You see, he knows when, where, how, who. He knows it all. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. You're saying, I'm praying and it's hard. Why, have you ever experienced the Holy Spirit interceding in and through you? Do you know what it is for the power of the Holy Spirit? You see, Christ is at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you right now. He is your great high priest within the veil, standing before the Father, praying for you. You have Christ as your intercessor. But hold on, there's another intercessor. That's what he's called here. And he's not in heaven, neither is he at the throne of God. He has been sent into the earth to dwell within you. What does it say? The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. In other words, he is doing the praying. He is doing the pleading. He is standing there praying for us. What is an intercessor? He stands between two people. And you know what the Holy Spirit's doing? Between God the Father in heaven, who you come to, and you on earth with all of your weakness and humanity and inability. And he says, you know what? I'm going to intercede for you. You see, but I need a vessel. I need someone to pray through. I need your mouth. I need your body, I need your time, I need your desire, and I actually will pray my prayers. If you allow God to do this, you'll be shocked at what begins to flow through you. It's not of you. What begins to come out in prayers, in faith, in desire, in expectation, even in things that you may know about people. I've always said through the years, if you want to know someone, pray for them. Girls, if you're going to marry a guy, pray for them. You know why? You'll get to know them an awful lot better on your knees than you will looking into their eyes. Pray for them. Guys, you do the same with the girls. So many mistakes have happened in the church because this has not been followed. What about people in your street? Begin to pray for them. I assure you, you'll have the wisdom to know what to say and when to say it. This week I had that man from down the road messaging me, emailing, a sinner in need of Christ. And he begins to message and say, I need God. You know what I'm doing? Praying for him. You know what this church is doing? We're praying for him. You know why? One of these days, over the next week or so, he's going to be sitting in this church. He's going to be sitting here. You know what we're doing? We're praying for him. We've got a soul to reach by the power of the gospel. I'm going to speak to him on the phone in a few days. I'm going to try and meet up with him. Saints, I'm going to pray into that. But I don't need all the right words. I'm praying for his soul. I'm praying that God equips me. Notice what else it says, with groanings. The Spirit prayeth itself, intercedeth for you with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's not the Spirit groaning. It says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit can utter. He has no problem praying. But it says, you are the one groaning and you can't utter the words. Notice here, when you pray in the Spirit, you begin to groan, but not with words. Since this is a realm of prayer, very few people know about it. I'm not talking about tongues. This is not talking about tongues. Neither is Ephesians 6 talking about tongues. This is open for every born again believer. And I believe in tongues. Here in this verse it says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. The word means to sigh, to groan, to long for. It means a deep desire, an inward anguish, feeling the hurt of the Spirit. This is prayer with the Spirit's help. He puts forth his power and he makes you to groan. Since this is the heart of a genuine believer. Oh God, I need you. Oh God, move in my family. Where do you think that comes from? When you begin to groan within you, go, oh God, I need your presence. Oh God, who creates that within you? If you're a sinner outside of Christ and you begin to say, oh, I need God. Oh, I need something to happen. Who do you think began to create that groaning? You see, there is a groaning, a desire, a longing after God. Who creates it? The Holy Spirit creates it within you. Prayer in the Spirit. It's not just with words or about specific things. It's an entire being within you. We have an example in Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 12. And it says, and it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. And what happened? Was there loud noise? No, there wasn't. But her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. God help him, that old man. He couldn't even tell what prayer in the Spirit is. The Spirit of God is moving mightily on this lady. And she can't even utter it on her lips. She's not praying a coherent prayer. She wouldn't have, no one in the prayer meeting was saying, amen, sister, pray on. Oh, what a powerful prayer. The old man of God in the house, he was saying, this lady's drunk. There she is praying, murmuring away. Her lips are going. Nothing coming out of her. What's wrong with this lady? She's all anguish, she's all screwed up. Saints, she couldn't even put words together. But what's happening? There's prayer from the Spirit. There is prayer from the Holy Ghost. Do you know what the prayer was for? Give me a man child. I want a child. I want a man child. Lord, I want a child from you. Do you know who birthed that prayer? It wasn't her. It wasn't her feeling sorry for herself and saying, do you know, others have children. I don't have a child. Per me. She wasn't feeling sorry for herself. This was beyond Hannah. She thinks in her natural mind of a child. Do you know what the Holy Spirit's thinking of? A prophet that was utterly unique of in every generation. A man who's going to prophesy and not one of his words would fall to the ground. He would impact an entire nation. He would anoint two kings of Israel. What a man of God. Where did that begin? It began in a wife, a mother, who's there travailing in prayer. She's groaning, but she cannot utter the words. She doesn't even know how to put it into sentences. Saints, do you ever have that? Do you know what prayer in the Spirit is? Where you sit before God and you are communicating, but you don't know what to say. You don't know how to say it. You are groaning within you. You have feelings, you have desires, but you do not know what to pray. Thirdly, it's the answer amidst apostasy. Let me just mention this. Jude 1:20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Do you realize the little book of Jude was written by Christ's half-brother at a time of apostasy, terrible darkness, fallen away, compromise. In fact, he says certain men have crept in. Not in our day, it's many. In his day, it was a few. It was some. In our day, the church has been invaded by many false prophets. He talks about the Canaanites who relied on their good works and despised the blood. Morality, social action, but they've lost the message of the blood. It's all through the church today. There are Canaanites within the church. What about the Balaamites? Who were they? They were the charismatics. They changed the message of the gospel for money. It's a prosperity gospel. Who was Balaam? He was the first prosperity preacher. He was moved to the Holy Spirit. He had angels come to him. Everything he prophesied was true. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are there. But you know what? He changed the message, allowed sin to come into the church. Why? For the money, for the position, for the prestige. There is a Balaamite movement in today's church. There's also a Korahite movement. What's the Korahites? They rebel against authority. I don't need to submit. I don't need to belong to a church. We all ought to be ministering. We all lead. We don't submit to leadership. We all ought to be teaching. No, you should not. That's why we don't have these round table Bunjeregard Bible studies. What do you think? What does your Bible say? What do your Bible notes say? We'll all teach one another. Yeah, and you'll get confusion, and you'll get deception, and you'll get misled, and you've got people sitting in Bible studies. They don't have a clue what they're saying or coming out with. It's not in the Bible. God's appointed teachers of the word, called, ordained, anointed, appointed. It's wonderful to have fellowship. We have so much of it here. But saints of God, there are Korahites who say, oh, what about Moses? Is he the only one God speaks to? Shouldn't all the people of God be led? We know the story. Saints, all these things were in the early church. What's the answer? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Build up yourself. Do you want to be free from all this mess? Then pray in the Holy Ghost. Get alone and pray through until the Holy Spirit is moving upon you. Do you want to stay with the blood in this generation? Do you want to hold fast to the Word of God? Then pray in the Spirit. Do you want to be a Christ-centered man and woman this hour? Pray in the Spirit. Do you want to be a Bible-based man and woman? Pray in the Holy Ghost, saints. When you get into prayer in the Spirit, God will preserve you. Fourthly and lastly, 1 Corinthians 14:15. Just briefly, give me a minute. It's a blessing of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I've said so far, prayer in the Spirit is not speaking in tongues, and it's not. Prayer in the Spirit, in the realm of the Spirit, is not speaking in tongues. It's not the baptism in the Holy Ghost. But let me come to this, because I do believe in the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:15. And it says there, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. In the Spirit and with the Spirit is different. It's talking about a different thing. Also in Ephesians 6, it's a capital S. Here in 1 Corinthians 14, it's a small s. There is a distinction. I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. And I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall they understand? Saints, you know what you have in this 1 Corinthians 14. It says, with the Spirit, in cooperation. In 1 Corinthians 14, we have the public gathering of God's people, where sinners do come into at times, and where untaught Christians come in who don't know about the gifts of the Spirit. And there is a balance in 1 Corinthians 14 between the public ministry of the gifts and the private operation of tongues. That's what you have here. You also have a contrast between prophecy and the public use of tongues. In 1 Corinthians 14, you have prayer in the Spirit. You have singing in the Spirit. You have blessing in the Spirit. And listen, you have speaking in the Spirit. They're not all the same. This doing something in the Spirit's different than doing it with the understanding. It's two different things. What does it mean to pray with your understanding? Using your intellect. You know what you're saying. You know what you're praying. You actually use your mind to form the sentences and the words, and you choose the subject. And when you pray with your understanding, everybody understands and they say, amen. 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 Wasn't it beautiful in the prayer meeting this morning? Just one after another praying, and our friend here, and although a different accent, we understood her. Even Americans, we can understand them when they pray in the English language, and we go, amen. Amen. Do you know what? We understand that is praying with the understanding. But saints, there's something else here, and it's called pray with the Spirit. Pray with the Spirit. Does that mean praying with understanding isn't in the Spirit? No. When you pray with your intellect and with English words and you begin to pray, that is in the Spirit, in the realm of the Spirit. But there's something else here. With the Spirit. When you pray with the Spirit, you don't understand what you're saying. That's what 1 Corinthians 14 says. In fact, those who hear you don't know what you're saying. They don't know what you're praying. And that's why it says when you bless with the Spirit, they go, huh? What was that? Do you know why? You don't understand it, not the person doing it, not the person receiving it. You can't say amen. That's utterly impossible. There is singing with the understanding in the local body. Do I believe in singing in the Spirit? Yes, I do. And you know, when you sing in the Spirit, you don't know what you're singing, and no one else around you knows what you're singing. Oh, we don't do that. Do you know what? It's biblical. It's biblical. And Paul is dealing with a public church service here. And he says, we sing. Some people, you don't want to hear them sing. But if they ever get into the Spirit, I assure you, it'll be an awful lot different. Since with these verses, he is making a difference between that which comes out of your spirit. It is a result of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, or a work of the Holy Spirit, or speaking in tongues. Let me go further with that. What it actually says in 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. It doesn't say gibberish. It doesn't say nonsense. They don't understand him, but he is speaking mysteries from the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. My natural mind, I don't know what I'm saying. I am praying. My spirit prayeth. When my spirit prayeth, my mind does not understand it. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. In the public gathering, privately, alone in your room, do both things. Pray in the Spirit. Pray out of your innermost being. There is a praying of your spirit. Small s, not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's your spirit that has been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Your spirit within you is alive unto God. It knows the mind of God, and it's praying to God. Since you're not meant to only pray once in a while in tongues. And you can't say, well, some people get it and some don't. The Bible doesn't teach that. It doesn't teach that. This is for all. Paul says, I would that ye all speak with tongues. You see, the Spirit is the human spirit, born again, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, baptized by the Holy Spirit. And we must pray. Let me finish. You see, the Holy Spirit will show you when to pray and how to pray. One of your family members could be heading for disaster. It's time to pray. The Holy Spirit knows all things. The Holy Spirit knows who's going to walk into this church. The Holy Spirit knows when you're going to meet a sinner who needs to know Christ. Saints, I'm exhorting you here this morning as we finish. Pray in the Spirit. There is a realm, a sphere, an atmosphere of praying in the Spirit. Don't pray out of the Spirit. Pray in the midst of His resources, His influence, His divinity, His knowing everything, His having all power, and His being able to guide you. And if you submit to Him, saints, He'll radically change your prayer life. Please stand with me here.